Scripture reading this morning comes from Job chapter 1, 1 through 10. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters was born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 5 female donkeys, and very many servants. And the man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, raising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there was no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? You have made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side. You have blessed him with works of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land." Praise God for his word.
Thank you, Buzz, for that reading. Good morning to everyone. It is nice to see you all here. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of prayer. You know, I look at you now, right this morning, and I can see the answer to prayer in so many different ways. I can see Sean over there. Good to see her. We've been praying for her. Big Mike Cottom there. Mike, as big and strong as he is, guess what? He needed our prayers because he was dealing with things that somehow the doctors just couldn't get figured out. I look at each and every one of you and I see someone that God loves so much that he wants to answer our prayers, that he's there waiting to hear our prayers. And we need to make sure that we use this wonderful gift of his and remember each other in prayer. Because there's no greater thing that we can do for each other. No greater thing that we can do for each other than to remember each other in prayer. As I was preparing for the memorial service for Larry Lang this past week and a half, I couldn't help but think of the book of Job. As I mentioned in the service yesterday, the book of Job was one of Larry's favorites. And as you know, if you read the book of Job, there are a lot of things involved in the book. A lot of lessons for us to learn. A lot of ways that certain things could have been interpreted. And Larry, being the deep thinker that he was, came up with things that I hadn't even thought of before. And he did that as a student in a class that I was teaching, and I learned very early on that he knew a lot more about Job than I did. So it caused me to study a lot deeper. And one of the things that we discussed, we're going to talk about this morning, because God's very character is displayed so many times in this wonderful book, as we see vividly the relationship between God and good and evil, and how God is sovereign, God is supreme, and God is controlling all things. So the book of Job teaches us a lot of things, a lot of truths about faith and patience and faithfulness and the ultimate triumph over good and evil. But there are some other things that we see in the book of Job. We see some truths, some fearsome truths, some truths that are exposed that really should bother us. We see that Job's trouble exposes Satan's tenacious hatred for godly people. Satan doesn't just hate godly people. He is tenacious in his hatred. He is tenacious in his desire to pull God's people away from God. And we also see Satan reveals his malicious and destructive work. He ravaged, as we read through the book, he ravaged every single thing that Job had. All his worldly possessions, he turned to ashes and an ash heap on which Job sat and scraped the sores off his body. He destroyed everything. But there was one thing he couldn't destroy, and that was Job's faith in God. Job knew that what was happening from him was not because of anything he'd done. And he remained firm in that faith and his love for his God, even when his wife said to him, "Curse God and die." He didn't, because he was strong in his faith. And we also see that misfortune doesn't always come from sinning. That bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And all these things happen to God's people. And we see that very clearly in the book of Job as well. But we also, in the book of Job, see some comforting truths. That true faith can withstand every and triumph over every evil attack. Everything that Satan can throw at us, through our faith in God, we can be triumphant over that. And Job shows the fact that God rules supremely in life. God is almighty, and he sets the boundaries of Satan's attack on his people. And notice what he says again in verses 9 and 10 in Job chapter 1. "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land." It's this hedge that I want to talk about this morning. What kind of a hedge has God put around us? Many people, when they read this, think, well, that can't be true, because look at all the bad things that happened to me. I get sick, and I was in a car accident, and I needed this, and I lost my job, and this, and all these things happen. Where's his hedge? But it's not referring to a physical hedge. It's referring to something much more important than that. God places a spiritual hedge around his people. God has placed a spiritual hedge around you. Job couldn't see the hedge, but notice that Satan could. Satan could see the hedge that God placed around Job. You see, there are many spiritual things that exist around us that we don't see. But just because we don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. That's where faith comes in. Sometimes we don't see our ardent prayers going up to God, or we may not always see His reply. But they're there, and it's there. And we have to trust those by faith. So I want us to just look at three things briefly this morning as we think about the hedge. What is it this hedge means? Why does God put a hedge, a spiritual hedge, around us? Well, the first thing that we see is God's hedge demonstrates ownership within. Nobody places a fence around something that they don't own. And the marvelous thing about God and His relationship with us is He owns us twice. He created us. And then what else did He do? He redeemed us. God owned us twice, through creation and through redemption. And it would be enough for Him to say, I want you to serve me because I created you. But even more than that, He says, I want you to serve me because I saved you. And He did that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul talks about ownership in these two passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You see, we're not our own. We were bought with the price, that price being His Son. And because of that, we need to honor God with everything that we have. Not just our. It's not talking about our physical bodies. It's talking about our being. It's talking about our very being. It's not just our bodies and taking care of as good stewards of what He has created externally for us. But it's being a good steward of the things He's created internally for us as well. And that's our soul. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. If we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And people might think, you know, I'm a free moral agent. I get to make choices in my life. If I don't want to do this, I don't do this because it's entirely up to me. We might think that, but it doesn't mean that we don't have a Creator that has made us in His image, and He has ownership over us. He allows us to make choices in our life. He allows us to make those choices, and sometimes those choices aren't so hot. We don't have the wisdom of Solomon. We don't have Solomon's wisdom. The greatest, the wisest man to walk this earth other than Jesus. But remember this about Solomon. One thing that wasn't in his life, think about this. One thing that was not in Solomon's life was a prophet. A prophet who could speak for God to Solomon. He didn't call upon a prophet to wonder what God thought about this. And so what happened? You know what happened at Solomon. He had a harem, and these foreign women, harem of his, brought in foreign gods. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, Solomon would have lost his soul. Because Solomon did not belong to himself. Solomon belonged to God. Even Solomon needed the wisdom of God. And the reason that we seek God is to seek His wisdom as well. Because we can't do it on our own. So God places a hedge around His people because He owns them. But the second thing that we see is God's hedge demonstrates value to Him. Value within that hedge, which is you. I don't know if you've had a chance to drive across the country or not. I've done that before. And there's some beautiful country out there. You go to Kansas and it's flat as can be. Flat as can be. There's no water, no hills. I'm not sure why people live in Kansas. And they have wind. You think we have wind here? They have a lot of wind in Kansas. There's nothing to block it. It funnels through Kansas. But one of the things you notice as you go through the Midwest, and in New Mexico as well, especially New Mexico, You see, a lot of wide open land that's barren and desolate. Nothing grows on it. Nothing can grow on it. But you know what you don't see? You don't see fences. Nobody's fenced it off. Why? It has no value. What are you going to put a fence around something that has no value to you? God puts a hedge around us because He values us. Never question your value to God because He values you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Job 7 and verse 17, Job is asking, what is mankind that you make so much of them, that you give them so much attention? You ever think about that? What are you? What am I? How important am I that God gives us so much attention? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love for us, and here's the answer. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us that much. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. Now, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's love for us is indescribable. I don't know that we can fully comprehend it because we can't love as much as He does. We do not have the capacity to love as much as He does. Oh, we may love our children. We may love our spouses. We may love our golf clubs or our mountain bike or our car, whatever it happens to be. But whatever we love, the strength of that love fails in comparison to the love that God has for us. And Job wondered this, if you love me so much, God, why am I suffering? Have you ever thought about that? Many of us have. God, if you love me so much, why am I suffering? Job said, why was I born? Why wasn't there a miscarriage in my birth? Why didn't I die at birth? Why was life given to me, one who is bitter in the soul? And then in Job chapter 3 and verse 23, he said, why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? And Job is saying, I'm stuck in this. I'm stuck in this horrible life, these things that are happening to me. How can I possibly get out of it? What can I possibly do? And I'm sure that many of us have felt that same way before. And when we're going through those difficult times, when life seems to challenge us one day after the next, like it did Job, it's hard for us to understand and embrace Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. See, the problem is, think about this. We judge the end by the beginning. In other words, when we start to go through difficult times, we start to go through health issues, for example, we judge God's mercy on me with the beginning of the illness, with the beginning of the strife, with the beginning of the relationship issue. Whatever it happens to be, we judge God by the beginning. Why are you doing this to me? Rather than looking toward the end. All things work together for those who love the Lord. Together is not the beginning. Together means the entirety of the situation, the entirety of the event. That's the together. What we should do is judge by what we cannot see. We ought to judge the beginning by the end. And that's where Romans 8:28 comes into play. We need to judge the beginning by the end. The phrase "work together" is really a Greek word that's used, and it's pronounced synergion. We get our English word synergy from it. We get our English word synergy from working together, from the Greek word that means working together. And synergy is simply taking at least two items and combining them. And in that combination, it creates something that these two things individually couldn't create. My grandmother used to make a stew. And she made one of the best stews I've ever had in my life. And I watched her make that stew one day. And I thought to myself, what in the world is she putting in there? Because it was meat, and it was potatoes, and it was carrots, and it was celery. But then she put something in there called a rutabaga. She put a turnip in there, and she put rutabaga in there. And I thought to myself, individually, I would never eat a rutabaga, would you? I'd never eat a turnip. But the synergy of all those things combined in that pot, being cooked with love, made the greatest stew I ever had in my life. All things, all those things working together produced that stew. But individually by themselves, they were nothing. All things work together for good. That's the synergy of God working in His people. And that's what Paul means when he said God causes all things to work together. And the good that that produces in us is something that could never happen if that event, if that thing that we thought was bad, never happened in our life. But working in us through God created good. Psalms 125 and verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. God's hedge surrounds His people because it demonstrates our value to Him. And thirdly, we see that God's hedge demonstrates His protection of us. Most of us have heard the expression, you're in good hands with Allstate. I don't happen to have Allstate insurance. I don't know whether that's true or not. And I'm sure the AAA and some of the other GEICO would disagree with that. But one thing we do know, we're in good hands with God. We're in the best hands that we could possibly be. We have God's divine hedge, and His watchful care is always on us. And who's our greatest enemy? It's Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, very familiar to all of us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And how does God protect us? How does this hedge, this spiritual hedge around, protect us? 1 Corinthians tells us that. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is what? He's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Does that mean we're not going to be tempted? No. But what it does mean is that when we are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, God's not saying that He's going to eliminate it. But what that hedge does is it protects us to the extent that He offers us a way out so we can endure what we're going through. And that's a promise of God. The problem is we have to look for that out. We have to want to look for that out. It has to be important to us to look for that out. What is that out that God's going to give me? It's going to be there. If I just yield and give in to temptation and do something I know that God doesn't want me to do, I've not looked for that out. It was there, but I just didn't care enough. I didn't understand enough about the wages of sin or the seriousness of sin to look for that out. But it's there. Because God said that it is. God is always looking out for us. There's a passage that's found in Isaiah that talks about his care for Israel. And it's that same care for Israel that he has for us today. And this is what it says. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Look at verse 16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Think about that. Think about how many times during the day you see your hands. And God is saying, this is how I remember you. This is how much I remember you. This is how important you are to me. This is how critical your protection is to me. I have engraved you on my hands. And they are ever before me. That's how much God loves us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And the problem is when we start leaning on our own understanding, we don't understand. And when we don't understand, then we don't trust like we should. God's telling us we need to trust Him just not a little bit, not just sometimes, but all the time with all of our heart. In Psalms 5 and verse 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That's God's love for us. As we go through Job, we see all this comes to fruition as Job finally understands God and is blessed with twice as much as he had before. God has a hedge around us, and it's for our own good. It's a spiritual hedge that protects us if we will allow it to do so. It's there because we're His. It's there because we are valuable to Him. And it's there because God values what He protects. And that's you. And that's me. I know there are times in our lives when we don't always see that. And I think a lot of it's because we tend to look for the physical and not the spiritual answer to the physical. Again, this world is full of a lot of challenges. Things in our lives that we just don't understand. Particularly when it's a physical attack. Why is there so much cancer in the world? I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't been touched by that disease one way or another. Either themselves or family members or friends. I got a call yesterday after the service. Someone I used to work with just passed away at my age after a long battle with cancer. But disease, relationship challenges, all of the physical things that we face pale in comparison to the spiritual blessings that God has given us. The strength that we have through prayer to go directly to Him and see His answers should give us the strength and the power to overcome anything that we're faced with. But to do that, we have to understand this spiritual hedge that God has for us, that He's there to protect us because He loves us. We are that important to Him. And He wants us to show Him how much we love Him by depending on Him with our very lives. If you've not read the book of Job in a while, I would encourage you to do so. Because as you go through the book of Job, what we see is a lot of ourselves in that book. Some of the doubts that Job has, some of the challenges from his friends, and we finally see the ending as it's a happy ending. So I would really encourage you to take a look at the book of Job. If you're here this morning, we offer an invitation, as we do every time we're together, so that we can help each other through the things that we face. The physical challenges, the spiritual challenges, all those things are open to prayer. We want to help you with that. If you've not yet become a child of God, you need to do that more than anything else, so that your election will be sure, so your reward will be sure, so that God can put that hedge around you. So if we can help in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.